with what's news from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. The nation's busiest oil field is burning off about $1 million worth of natural gas a day in a practice known as flaring.
That is more than the daily natural gas consumption of many small states, and the greenhouse gas emissions associated with that flaring, it's about roughly equivalent to the greenhouse gas emissions associated with driving 2 million cars for a day.
We'll have the details with Wall Street Journal reporter Rebecca Elliott. But first, here are some top stories. The Pacific Northwest is feeling the impact of one of the worst fire seasons. The air there is getting dirtier, forcing schools to hold sports practice indoors, delaying flights, and sickening residents. On August 20th, the air in Spokane was dirtier than in any major city, surpassing Beijing and Lahore, according to a survey by IQ Air Group. A Malaysian fugitive is under investigation by the U.S. Justice Department, which is looking into whether he laundered millions of dollars to pay a legal team, including former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie and a lawyer who represents President Trump. Joe Lowe is believed to have played a central role in embezzling billions of dollars from a Malaysian fund, according to U.S. court filings. There's no indication those who received the money from him knew where the funds originated. The U.S. International Trade Commission is blocking U.S. tariffs on Canadian newsprint. Wall Street Journal reporter Lucas Alpert says the ITC found that Canadian paper imports aren't injuring U.S. producers. The tariffs, on the other hand, were.
The tariffs, as they initially stood, were pretty damaging to the newspaper industry, which is already suffering, you know, as readers move away from print. It was a big cost raise. So something like this is actually, you know, a bit of good news.
The Commerce Department had set temporary tariffs of up to 32% on Canadian paper before lowering the levies earlier this month prior to the ITC's ruling. Dick's Sporting Goods reported a decline in sales in the latest quarter, which it attributed to weaker sales of Under Armour apparel and a change in its gun sale policy. The company restricted sales of firearms to anyone under the age of 21 following the fatal high school shooting in Parkland, Florida in February. The decline in sales for Dick's comes amid higher consumer confidence and spending that's boosted the retail sector. Still to come, why natural gas in the Permian Basin is going up in smoke. The Permian Basin in Texas and New Mexico is America's busiest oil field. But each day, drillers are burning up about $1 million of natural gas, which is a byproduct of drilling for oil, because they say they can't bring it to market. Joining us now via Skype from Houston is Wall Street Journal reporter Rebecca Elliott. So, Rebecca, this practice of burning natural gas, known as flaring, is happening in the Permian Basin with the permission of regulators. Can you explain a bit more about how it works and why it's being allowed to occur in that area?
So, when operators drill for oil, which is kind of the main objective in the Permian Basin, they also get gas. And production is increasing so quickly in Texas and New Mexico that producers have way more gas than they have pipeline capacity. And so they have all of this gas at wellheads that they have to do something with. And rather than curtail oil production, they decide to burn the gas because they don't have anywhere to put it.
How much of an increase in flaring are we seeing in this area?
So flaring hit a new high last quarter, according to analyst estimates, and that was about 320 million cubic feet a day of natural gas that was being burned in West Texas and New Mexico, and that equates to about $1 million worth of gas that drillers are lighting on fire each day out there. So to put that in perspective, that is more than the daily natural gas consumption of many small states. And the greenhouse gas emissions associated with that flaring, it's about roughly equivalent to the greenhouse gas emissions associated with driving 2 million cars for a day.
Rebecca, are there any alternatives to flaring, and are environmentalists concerned about the practice?
So essentially, if you're not going to reduce production to cut down on the gas that you're producing, The other option is to release the gas directly into the atmosphere, and that's a practice called venting. And actually, that is worse for the environment than flaring is. And so environmentalists actually are far more concerned generally about venting than they are about flaring in the reporting that I've done. It's this catch-22 in which many people see this practice as better than alternatives, whether those are environmental or economic.
So, Rebecca, we are amid an oil production boom in the U.S. Does that mean we should expect flaring to continue for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, absolutely. So the consulting firm who analyzed the flaring data in this story actually expects flaring to more than double in the Permian over the next year before new natural gas pipelines come into operation at the end of 2019. So generally, you know, particularly given regulators' acceptance of flaring, the expectation is that this practice absolutely will persist and increase.
Is this giving fuel to arguments for more natural gas pipelines if the complaint is that there is not enough infrastructure to bring this natural gas to market?
There are plans for several new natural gas pipelines to be built in the Permian. It's just that a lot of that infrastructure typically lags production increases, which is the point we're at now. And so those new pipelines aren't scheduled to start operating until late next year or after. And so we have this period in which production is increasing quite dramatically, but that infrastructure just hasn't kept pace.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Rebecca Elliott joining us via Skype from Houston to talk about the increase in the practice known as flaring in the Permian Basin. Thanks so much for joining us, Rebecca.
Thank you for having me.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.
Enjoy the What's News podcast? Then try the What's News newsletter. Sign up at wsj.com/newsletters. That's wsj.com/newsletters.